Jared, for selecting our hymns tonight that go so well with our
thoughts and these moments together. I think tonight to tell the truth, I think the love of hunger for those of you that remember all the way back to 56 and see that show to tell the truth and keep our lives open. How can you possibly forget someone who's trying to figure out just a brief analyst that is telling the truth? Well, that is my answer tonight. I wrote again with a quote from a correspondent in the last half of the 20th century. Now the Western National is no longer what it was back then in the 20th century, but correspondent in the Western Federal made this statement concerning the truthfulness, honesty, and other words, integrity. One of the most effective disciplines I know is not to do something that first time. For repetition will come more easier. Not doing something for the first time is a tremendous bore against not doing it later. It is easy to tell a lie, but it is hard to tell only one. This one will help us avoid the guilt that we all experience by dabbling in things that we shouldn't. Few things are more important than whether one has a good reputation, that is to say, a good name. Not all people are outgoing. Not all people are sought after or lovable. But everyone can have integrity. Integrity flows more out of disciplined character than a daring personality. Want us to repeat the idea that vividly captures the basis of that paragraph. It is easy to tell a lie, but it's hard to tell only one. That has been your experience, I'm sure, in mind. One of the things that we've been taught, having our sins washed away from the war, is developed by the Lord, is developed discipline of being true in our words. It's a major emphasis throughout all Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament. In fact, just let me cite some of the verses that are directly direct to the Old Testament, New Testament. Psalm 12:22. Everyone lies to his neighbor. Their flattering lips speak of deception. Proverbs 6:16-19. Six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: a lying tongue, a false witness who pours out lies. Proverbs 14:5. A truthful witness does not deceive, but a false witness pours out lies. Ephesians 4:25, later the chapter that has just been read. Therefore, each of you must put off all falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. Colossians 3:9, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. Revelation 21:8, a fearful text, but for the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake. This translation says, burning sulfur, brimstone, fire, and brimstone. Well, that's a pretty good emphasis again. Lying is one of those common traits. It gets to the point where it's so common that we anticipate that it's going to happen. We excuse ourselves when we are guilty of in some way having the truth. Look at whatever is not true. This is just a list of some possibilities that the Bible gives in ways in which we may not be truthful. Obviously, perjury in a court of law, under oath, is lying. Matthew 26, 1960, the Lord himself is on trial. Titus cannot find any false witnesses to come forward to find any charge to send to the title about Jesus, the man who claims to be king of the Jews. And so, there are finally two false witnesses to come forward, misinterpreting obstinate misunderstanding earlier claims that Jesus had made by himself that are true. They use those against him, which in fact under oath were examples of perjury. Intentional deception is really sad. When Genesis 27, a mother teaches her son to deceive. She will notice very carefully the story of Rebecca and Jacob. Jacob, the favored son of his mother, Isaac, had the favored son Esau. And therefore, when Esau was about to die, and wanted to get his blessing, there was deception on the part of first Rebecca. And Jacob, of course, tries to object by saying, he will know that it is not me. Esau is married, and I am not. And so there was a plan about the prophet, Jacob, being part of that, who eventually deceived himself and suffered many years as a result of consequences of his own deception. False conclusion, Genesis 37, 29 to 33, when Joseph spoke of the spit and the blood of an animal and brought back to Jacob. This is where he reads the consequences. 10 older brothers of Joseph asked simply, is this your son's coat? They did not claim that it was. It obviously was. It was a coat of the brothers. Merely asking the question led Jacob to an incorrect and lying conclusion on the part of the brothers that worked perfectly for what they wanted. We believe some 20 years before Jacob learned the truth, and I wonder how in the world did those 10 older boys live with themselves every day and every night, knowing that they had deceived the Father that they loved, the Father that they served, the Father that they loved, the Father of the Abraham, the Father of the 12 tribes of Israel. How in the world did they be silent about that all of the years? And yet we know the rest of the story from Joseph, the Egyptian slavery and imprisonment. Remain silent with the truth. We know the truth, but do not stand up and speak out. That too is a form of holding the truth and therefore being guilty of lying. Here's what Leviticus 5 and verse 1 says. A person who knows the truth and does not tell it, as if the case of he believes or something, he will bear his own guilt. In other words, the person who is guilty of crime has guilt to bear, the consequences to bear, but a person who can think and say, he did not do it, I was there, I know who did it, will bear his own guilt as a result of that lie. Then, of course, there is slander. Genesis 39, 17, 18, we think, well, that's one of the hinder forms of lying, but listen, you know, undermining someone's good character simply because you may not be above the standard of their character, you better want to do everything you can do to live them and to live their conscience. I mean, that kind of thing can happen. Here, in this case, of course, Potiphar's wife takes advantage of a piece of the cloak that Joseph left behind when he fled. Her attempts to have him go out with her, but that he refused repeatedly. And she talks the story first to her servants that he has taken advantage of me or trying to, and then to her husband, Potiphar, and causing Joseph to be innocently imprisoned for the crime that he was doing. There is no game flattery. You are supposed to please be complimentary. And do so sincerely from the heart. It is another thing to be insincere and therefore flatter, which is not a form of truth. It is a form of lie. And it's in fact a form of deceit. By the way, there are some people who are not accustomed to being believed to deceive in confidence, and so we compliment them. They say, "Oh, flattery." And we respond by saying, "No, no, no, not flattery. Flattery is deceitful. We're sincere as we can be." Well, this is one of the trials of Paul. When Mr. Charles, an attorney in the behalf of the high priest in Jerusalem, went down to Caesarea to make the case before Felix, the bad governor, Festus would be a good governor, kind of earlier. And he gives a speech giving all the accomplishments that Felix is not responsible for, but Tertullus is buttering up, making him think so. That was a form of lying. They hated him in reality, but they used flattery as a cover. This is an exaggeration. Here's an example in Numbers 13, 32, 33, through 12. When Moses is out of 12 times, you know the story, the only Joshua and Caleb come back. Great confidence, great fame, not because they have great numbers and great oratory or anything like that, but they have no trouble. And the other thing is fine is to say, "Oh, no, 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 no. We are grasshoppers in their sight, and they are as giants in our sight." So the victory that would have been secured based on God's initial plan was delayed 40 years, and only Joshua and Caleb removed in their promised land from that original group, and then lying directly to God. This is a terrible example of the first recorded sin in the early church, when Ananias and Sapphira won't be seen as genuine, as generous, as beloved Barnabas. But they were not. They had bargaining in their heart. He was not with a matter of seeing what they were guilty when they sold the property, a piece of land, and bought money, and paid the cost of meat. It was, they lied about the amount of money that I thought they were seeing back to the law. They didn't have to give 100%. That was nowhere required. Farmers did, but they wanted to be seen as having given the whole amount. So Peter arrives, and he says, very frankly, as long as he had the money, Ananias was not in your own power, was not in your own control, to decide what you do with the money, sure. And then when Ananias repeats the lie, they lost the amount of money that they received from the land. God struck them dead. The press on not only the first century church, but the 21st century church, who they find is going to be pretty, who that the Lord does not bring up like that banner, with the idea of our times. But he gave that as an example, to the point for all time, for us to be in fact, what Peter said was, "Ananias, you have not lied to us. You love me not." And I suppose that, in truth, all lying to someone, lying to one of us, is also lying to God. So, whatever is not true is not what Paul says in Philippians 4, and he says, whatever is true. Let's think about three areas that we can be truthful and rededicate ourselves tonight, based on even the words that we can see. We are a people of words. Some of us are even a people of numbers, along with words. We go through life using words as instruments. We lay on the thing, I feel, or believe, and really index our character overall. First of all, we have a truthful in our words. Matthew 12, verse 6 is the start of the verse where the Lord reminds us that every careless word that people speak, they will give account of before the judgment of God. We must weigh our words, even when it's painful, even when the truth hurts. We must be truthful in our communication and word form. We also must be honest in our relationships and talking about with each other. I mean, I know there are some members of our church family that are new to us and right now are not as known to everyone. our business relationships, to our employer, and as an employer, to our employees, to our best friend or friends. How those relationships are going to continue with someone that cannot be trusted, someone whose word cannot be faithful? They cannot be. Zechariah 8, 16-17, the words of God himself, speak the truth to one another. Judge for truth and peace. Do not devise or desire evil in your heart against anyone. Do not love perjury. These are things that I, God, see you hate. So as we think about the importance of being honest in our relationship, or relationship to continue, it must be based on honor or trust on a person to be truthful. Then we must rethink the lifestyle of integrity. There are many great statements in the little three chapter book of Titus. Just like that thing, we can read through them very quickly and not dwell on very much. That we should not look, yes, he's writing to the young evangelist Titus. But as he says to him, so does he say to us, because God has chosen this to be reserved for all time. Be an example of good deeds. Be an example of pure doctrine. In other words, when you stand before the people of God, be sure and you tell them exactly what the Lord has revealed. We have that in good form now. But at the end, as the message was delivered to him, that was what he was delivering. Be sound in your speech. The word sound means healthy, not unhealthy. Sound in your speech and beyond reproach. No question. When someone hears you speak, they know you're telling them. Whatever things, here are not just suggestions, but here are recommendations, really commandments, as far as being based upon biblical facts, that hopefully we can go with. Obviously, James 1:19 reminds us that we should be slow to speak and quick to listen, and slow to anger, or slow to wrath. We just talked about angry words. In addition to ancient words, ever true. So as we think about the encouragement of this particular statement, let's make it one of the verses by which we live in our hearts. Number two, be accountable. There are self-help groups in addiction circles. I'm talking about real-life hard stuff that many of us know little if anything about. Would you take, for instance, Alcoholics Anonymous? You talk about the Narcotics Anonymous. You talk about the those who form groups of accountability in order for others who are stronger to help those who are weaker, dealing with the destruction that is in poverty. And you talk about gambling, anonymous, those whose lives are destroyed, careers destroyed because their life is overtaken, their mind is overtaken. If you do not have a problem like that, before your mind, you really can understand that you need to be those who are even sitting in those circles, trying to work with those people, trying to encourage them, trying to be maybe one of those who would be a support worker. And you need to be accountable. It's easy to say that we're to be accountable to God. We're not to be honest. Romans 14, verse 12, reminds us that every one of us will give an account of ourselves to God himself. We've been blessed way off. That's far off. But what are we doing in the meantime? What are we developing in the meantime? Whatever place we are in, even in the Lord's church, that there be brothers who love brothers, there be sisters who love sisters, and things that others, God, such room. Learning the film through whatever the cost is something for which we may need someone that we trust, that we know as conquered as that, and would not tell a lie talking about that they're going to be morally perfect. But they decided a long time ago they're not going to tell a lie. They're going to be truthful. And then thirdly, let's commit ourselves to being people of truth. What the song says on this time is right in the heart of Christianity, the Son of God. The Lord says that it comes to take the oaths. Jews were people who dismissed their responsibility for various things by taking the oath, taking the vow, something they never intended to do at all. They would be here, they would be there, they would make promises, they would know, they would make vow, they would go in the temple to fulfill the vow at all. And he says, don't take any oaths at all. He was not referring to being called upon to testify in court. He himself was called in such a situation. But as a matter of practice, as a matter of practice, remember when kids, and someone would come to us in school, they would say something like, can you keep a secret? Oh, yes, I can keep a secret. If you cross your heart and hope to die, I cross my heart and hope to die. That is all. I might have never keep a secret, but I didn't hope to die. So we take oaths and vows lightly. We dismiss the importance of our words. And the Lord says in verse 27, let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. There is nothing more needed. I know there are situations in life where there are gray areas. I don't believe Jesus can be such a right and wrong, a truth, an error, or a falsehood. While some things that we need to hold to ourselves for various reasons, various purposes, that would not fall within the context of lying, but just things that have been committed to us, we need to trust in the Lord. While various problems are being worked through, while various solutions are being sought, so let us use this particular statement as a motto as well. Let our yes be yes, and let our no be no. To know Jesus is so true. I am the way of truth and life. To believe Jesus is to believe the truth. He's the Son of God. Not an imposter. Follow Jesus is to follow the truth because it's all he knows. Love Jesus is to love the truth because love people is to tell them the truth. We really need to know one framework when we lie to them, and especially when we withhold from them the information that they need. For they are seeking the truth concerning the public here tonight. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. A vision of the Lord's church. How to become a Christian. How to worship God intimately. How to go out and do evangelism. On the possibility is there. Before we sing our song of encouragement together, I want to share with you a little story that our sister Ed and Buttonville told. I did not hear it, you understand, but Joan did. Mom and Dad lived down there 9 years ago because of your encouragement. Went to work on the evening with three leading congregations in the New York area, over in New Jersey. What a tremendous treat that was to see the faith of those people that had friends there, obviously. But at one point in the media program, the men and ladies were separated, and Joan and Dad and the daughter of God turned to her and soul. But there's something there that one of the Peter says, 11 years of age and younger, get in for 1 hour less. Would you believe that the daughter said, you tell them that you are still 11 and not 12, which the daughter did for 1 hour. That is what was for the 11 previous years that she had taught her daughter to tell the truth, it was completely destroyed in that one house. So seriousness, yes, of our words. The carefulness of our words. We need to be honest with Almighty God Himself, and we are when we honest. We'll be honest with each other, and we'll be honest with the Lord Himself. We will have no fear. You know the greatest thing that a person can make in their life? Some might think, I do, but in the marriage, that means that how many years the Lord gives us a couple of death and a living bliss. But rather than that, it's the one who stands before a congregation of the people, or only in the sight of the Lord Himself, I need assistant baptism to say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. If you can think of a greater sin than that, a confession of one's faith, before being immersed in water, for all of your sins to be washed away, even those of tongue, the heart's part of us control. And then be able to go back to that Father. Struggle with truthfulness because truthfulness or lack of it is the greatest index to our character. That's the opportunity we have tonight to respond to the Lord, giving our heart, our life, our everything He has given to us, and say, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help me tell the truth. Help me be a person of truth. For wherever someone hears me, they will never get a question of doubt. They'll never get a question of honesty. They'll not get a question of concealment. But we are blessed. But the rewards will be eternal. I have accepted the Lord's invitation to invite you to bring your sins, bring your heart, bring your sorrows, bring your sadness, bring your joy, whatever you may be. Glory to God.